not everybody really knows who James is. And I know it's late, but something, just a couple nights ago, I got an email from James Deal, and he said he's going to be in, James lives in Canada. We never see him anymore, but he's here tonight. He's the author of 20 books of poetry. He is, an hour special has been done of his poetry in Canada. He is a really famous poet. And we've got him here, and I you know, the bad cop said he could read for 5 minutes. And then the bad cop said, ah, you could read for maybe six, okay. and maybe seven, maybe, okay. And I know it's late, but he might not be able to come back. He isn't able to come back all that often, so I hope you will all stay, and I hope you'll consider getting a copy of his book tonight. He no longer teaches, but he now is able to write and translate, and he has translated a lot of Chinese poetry, and it is a great pleasure to have him here tonight, James Deal.
That's okay, I'm gonna read like this. Yeah. Oh, the bad cop says I could read half a dozen poems, so I have half a dozen poems from that book. I love women too, you know. I've had three wives, and I have three daughters and one granddaughter so far. While my daughters build the campfire, I go off to watch dusk enter the marsh. After the heat of the day, only a few frogs break the silence of this place where beaver once lived. The deserted lodge still stands, and somewhere their dam still holds. But sedges and water lily fill this space where a clear pond once lay to catch the passing blue of an autumn sky. I know this marsh will become a meadow, the lily pads replaced by grass and later by saplings. Red squirrels will flourish where frogs now swim. But none of that matters as evening casts her veil across the waters and the insatiable crickets welcome the night. All that remains are the brief moments between light and shadow. A hummingbird's blur, the jump of a frog, the curve of grasses heavy with seed as a north wind starts. These are the true gifts. Already blackness embraces the heart of the reeds. Now, like Miss Jones, I come from a coal mining family. And interestingly enough, although my name is James Deal, I was adopted, and my birth name, my mother's surname was Jones, so perhaps we're cousins. The coal. Once again, I am leaving Pennsylvania, driving north as autumn closes. An early snow has edged the corn, still ranked on hillsides. Cattle offer their heavy breath to still air. How good the farms look, standing among their bare trees. I can believe that in these houses, fathers and sons are called to the same tables, still speak the same language. Traveling towards the headwaters of the Allegheny, I realize all of the Pennsylvania relatives I knew in childhood are dead. All have gone to live in long rooms under the snow. I notice hawks clinging to branches, talons ready for careless mice, and contoured fields shaped by the forces that shaped the land. Under the farms, black coal lies like a hand steady on a banister at twilight. It is the hand of my father, and the hand of his father before him, dark and silent, never moving. And I see we must celebrate the coal. It is talking, recollecting, supporting our transient lives. We must enter these November fields with hymns of praise and gratitude, knowing the earth is good. In the darkness of every root cellar, apples wait in barrels, their flesh crisp with frost. In the wet fields, almost midsummer, I am passing Burlington in the rain. South of the cornfields, lightning strikes again and again, but to the north, the empty sky travels forever. The deaths accumulate. So many friends reside in paradise or have turned to nothing under the ground. The storm moves off, and I don't know if I should pray in these wet fields or follow the lightning as far as it goes. Tantramar. At dawn, the marsh is a cauldron of hunters, its air shredded by guns, reverberations filling these scant woods, the late autumn sky. Everywhere the white hand of frost has etched its designs. The tent ropes are frozen, the grounds become iron, a bone chill of stone. Almost too dark to pick out the ducks coming in low over salt reach and scrub, yet the firing continues while I strike tent and hike back to the car parked on gravel. I make it to the high marsh road, the rising sun still buried in grass heads fitful with wind. Driving to Sackville for coffee, I pass farms where baled hay packs barns to black rafters. A bitter season. Steers stand steaming as sunlight strikes hide, hooves stamping frozen mud. Beeves out on the marsh, a savage business in which only the best bulls survive. The poem that's the basis of the cover photograph. The Hawk by the Innisfil Road. The hawk by the Innisfil Road has only the white-footed mouse in mind this November morning. Only the mouse and the hunger and her constant need to hunt. She had perched near a ruined silo until some movement, some hint of color in the field below drew her down to the brown stubble, to furrows left in last night's snow. The game is over in an instant. A greater, more powerful hunger is fed, and the hawk returns to her silo to watch again, knowing the winter will be long. On the Innisfil Road, winter is always long. Already the clouds suggest more snow. The cricks freeze up. Over gleaned field and milkweed verge, a hawk's wing scythes air to shards of ice. And my final poem, one of the great ironies was pointed out to me by a local Pittsburgh character called David Milton, is the area in McKeesport where the whorehouses used to be. The whorehouses were all torn down and they put in nursing homes. And my father was in one, and in fact died in one 19 years ago. My father sits in a wheelchair in a nursing home where whorehouses once overlooked the Youghiogheny River. They were black and naked, and I was 16. The street of women was another world, was dark nippled breasts glimpsed through windows, and the grief lust spends like money in the long night of rivers. The Negro whores are gone now, as is that boy so eager to escape innocence at any cost. Always lost in rivers whose fresh waters join the sea in an embrace of salt. The National Works is shut. The men who bought young women long departed. Blackness fills the cathedrals of steel, eats livers, lungs, the battered kidneys, and the faces where flowers of darkness bloomed with pride and open hearts. Tonight, my town lies empty, like an aging heart that does not know whether to beat or stop. My father has white hair and sits in his wheelchair, unable to speak. His tough exterior is cracked and brittle. His skin falls off. Flakes of it cover his pants like dandruff. From the old folks' home, he looks out over a river he cannot remember is the Youghiogheny, while his spirit prepares to travel to a world he cannot know. It is a journey across another river, and even now the boatman waits, his skiff rocking on dark waters. Once my father's eyes held the glow of Bessemer converters, held the orange dust coating cars and trees. Once his eyes held a kind of strength. What I remember is the orange dust, his hands holding shears to prune hedge and cherry. I remember men going into dark women on paydays by the riverbank. I remember wanting to be a man. I sit with my father watching men in uniforms and helmets smash each other down on TV. Steelers versus Browns, the score tied. He stares blankly and does not know, cannot follow the savage beauty of big men running frantic as knives through October's sun.
Thank you. Thank you.
You let us know when you're going to be here in advance.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.